Get to the chopper!
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
I'm gonna take you to the bank. To the blood bank.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. And hear the lamentation of the women.
Groovy.
Welcome back to Good for an Action Movie. My name is Will Thornton.
And I'm Max Steele.
We are excited to be here today. We watched a movie called Small Soldiers from 1998.
And what a movie it was, Will.
It was good. Okay, yeah. I will do a little plot synopsis. I'm not worried about spoilers. This is from 1998, and it's a children's movie.
It's not a children's movie.
Yeah, I guess
I would
not
call this a children's movie.
I mean, it's a children's movie as much as Gremlins is a children's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it is. Parents, listen up. To all the parents out there, your kids can see violence. It's fine, okay? Particularly small toys being torn to shreds. So Small Soldiers is directed by Joe Dante, who directed Gremlins and Gremlins 2, The New Batch. He's a good director. He's also a big movie buff. Max likes him a lot because he's on Leonard Maltin's podcast.
Yeah, he's really, really interesting to hear about his inspirations and stuff like that, especially for like Gremlins. He was talking about how he was inspired a lot of his movie because he did The Howling too.
Yeah.
Not the Howling
the
as
Howling
well.
The Howling 2? Too howl too
howling
fast.
Howling too much.
Howling too much. To howl or not to howl.
Yeah, and he's inspired by some of like our favorite movies like the
Shallow Howling.
Shallow Howling. Oh, but he's inspired by like our favorite movies like the Universal Horror movies.
Yeah.
So that's why I like him a lot.
Yeah, you can tell that he really likes movies in the movies he makes.
Oh, yeah.
But Small Soldiers is about a toy company that employs the likes of Dennis Leary and David Cross.
And Jay Moore.
And Jay Moore, the famous Jay Moore. there's Jay Less, Jay Moore, Jay High, and Jay Low. We'll edit that out. Anyway, so these employees make two batches of new toys. One are called the Commandos. Is that right?
Commando Elite,
who are led by a toy voiced by Tommy Lee Jones, who, as I have already mentioned to Max, is a dead ringer for the general in Avatar.
He looks exactly like it.
And they are also the same character,
yes.
Which is killing a bunch of aliens. And then there are the Gorgonites.
Yeah, they're Gorgonites.
I kept saying Gorgonauts, which is very racist of me. It's very offensive to call them that.
Oh my gosh.
But
yeah, there's two. The movie starts with David Cross, which I think is hilarious. He's the first character we meet.
Yeah, there are some really good comedic actors in the movie.
Yeah, but David Cross has developed the Gorgonites, which are supposed to be a peaceful, loving toy for kids to like learn about the environment, and they have a very Native American philosophy. And then Jay Moore has also made the Commando Elite, who are just shoot everything, kill everything, and they're giving a pitch to Dennis Leary, who's the CEO. And what's his name, by the way? It's like his last name is like Warkill or something like that.
Is it really?
I can't remember.
Gil Mars.
Oh, Mars is the god of war.
Oh.
That's what made me think about it.
Okay.
But... and when they pitch it, he's just like, kids love action. And we have that in common as we love action on this podcast.
I was down with this movie from the moment I heard that line of dialogue.
But, and so he, instead of choosing one or the other, he says that the Commando Elite are going to be like their next toys at the toy company and that the Gorgonites are going to be the enemy.
Yeah, so they ship out these toys and they find their way on the back of a truck that's driven by Dick Miller, who is in other Joe Dante movies like Gremlins, to a young boy named Alan who works at his father's toy store in a quiet Midwestern town that exists in many movies and nowhere in the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Whose dad owns a toy store?
Yep.
And his dad is played by Kevin Dunn, and he is the kind of guy who doesn't like action or war toys. So his toy store is full of like model trains and sailboats. But his son, Alan, who is the protagonist of the movie, likes action toys and is watching the shop for his dad and accepts the Gorgonites in the Commando Elite to try to sell them to turn a quick profit because Alan is a disappointment to his family.
Mm, and...
Do we ever find out why?
We do not. We never.
By all accounts,
find
he
out.
Is a very good kid from what we see. But apparently he is a terrible troublemaker.
Yeah, it's just
he's been kicked out of two schools.
That's literally all they know. They never explain why. They mention like something like about like he called in a bomb threat, but that was only for one school.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, but the final thing that you really need to know about the plot is that Jay Moore, when they were developing the Commando Elite, he went to this one website, and it's 1998, so it's obviously a very cool website. And he buys like military surplus, like sentient,
like AI chips, basically microchips, and puts them in the toys' heads.
Yeah. So the whole movie is basically Alan gets the toys, they come alive.
And then it just turns into Gremlins.
Pretty much. Basically. It is Gremlins. Gremlins and Toy Story.
Yeah. And it's easy to make the Toy Story parallel because they're computer animated toys in a movie that came out just a few years after Toy Story. But there are actually like exact moments. There is a moment where there is a chase of a toy chasing a toy on a moving vehicle while a dog chases that toy.
Yeah, it's almost shot for shot with Toy Story.
And there's also a toy that's strapped to a firework. Just many things that Toy Story did.
I was looking at the IMDb page, like the trivia page for Small Soldiers, and there's even like a line of dialogue that is quoted from Toy Story.
Oh, really?
And like IMDb lists it as like an homage, but no, this movie came out 3 years after Toy Story, a year before Toy Story 2. That's not an homage.
Yeah, and I know one of the reasons Pixar made Toy Story first was they were very smart about it because animating toys is easy to do because of the hard textures. You don't have to make them look overly lifelike. So, I get the appeal to do it because it was easier to do than, you know, something like humans or, you know, well, Pixar, of course, would later go on to do, slowly work their way up to organic things. But yeah, at the same time, it is sort of a little unnerving to watch and to just be like, oh, this came out 3 years after Toy Story.
While we're talking about that, it's a very distracting thing for me when watching it because the effects really weren't that great.
Some of them are, because sometimes it's like stop motion when the toys still look like toys that are just moving, and those are actually really cool.
They're kind of freaky.
They're very realistic. Because that was that's a technology that works 100% of the time and looks real. If you're trying to make a stop motion like human, it's not going to look real. But a toy, like, you can absolutely do that.
Oh yeah,
and it works really well.
Yeah, Archer, who is the leader of the Gorgonites, and Frank actually is the voice for it, which is
Richard Nixon.
Yeah, Richard Nixon, Academy Award winning.
I think he did win. Emissary of the Gorgonauts. Gorgonites. Gorgonite. Wait, what is it?
The Gorgonites.
Gorgonites. I keep calling them Gorgonauts.
He's probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah, he's pretty enjoyable.
He's very fun. He's very funny in a very toy-like way. One of the funniest things about the movie is that the Gorgonites are like programmed to be very dumb and kind of wusses.
Yeah, they in the same way that the Commando Elite are programmed to kill the Gorgonauts. Ites. Dang it. The Gorgonites. The Gorgonites are very much programmed to like be killed by the Commando Elite.
Mm-hmm.
They are not programmed to fight back. They're programmed to like hide or just, you know, be slaughtered, which they are very early on in the movie before they resurrect.
Yeah. So you can kind of see where this movie is going.
Yeah. We got a couple scenes of the misunderstanding between Alan and his parents. The toys wreck the store. The Commando Elite escape. One of them gets caught in the garbage disposal.
That's brutal.
Archer looks up some pictures on the computer of Yosemite National Park and thinks that it's Gorgon. So that's where he wants to go. Turns out that the Commando Elite, who were previously thought to have killed the Gorgonites earlier on, the rest of the Gorgonites are alive, and they're a bunch of crazy aliens. They come back. They all befriend Alan. Bada bing, bada boom. Kirsten Dunst is in it.
Yeah,
and
she shows up.
Yeah, she's in from the beginning. Yeah, she's the love interest.
She's 16.
She's 16, and she looks about... I mean, she looks much older than the kid, and they end up kissing at the end, and I had to look up the ages because I thought there was probably a 4-year age difference, and they were only a year apart, but she definitely looked older. Mm-hmm. And Phil Hartman is in the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this actually has a very good cast for a movie. Like, we already mentioned Phil Hartman, Frank Langella.
Yeah, well, the
David Cross, Jay Moore.
Yeah, Dennis David Cross. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones is a voice. Bruce Dern provides a voice.
Ernest Borgnine
is in this. Yeah, yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar does the voices of these Barbie dolls that are resurrected. Michael McKean is in it. Christopher Guest.
Michael. Oh my god!
Like all three of the Spinal Tap guys are on the movie as voices. And yeah, I think that is probably a testament to the director. Joe Dante probably knows all these guys and is a huge fan and, you know, was extremely anxious to get them on board.
Which is kind of disappointing to me because I couldn't even tell that, like,
yeah,
people were in it.
Other than Archer and the main Commando Elite, they're all very small characters.
Yeah.
The movie is really about the humans, not about the toys. So as we alluded to earlier, you can see where this movie's going. Total all-out war between the Commando Elite and the Gorgonites. The humans step up. We have a couple families here that step up to defend the Gorgonites. There's a big, big, long battle sequence at the end, to which I was frustrated that no one just took a baseball bat to these things because they're only 8 inches tall, maybe 12 inches tall.
Yeah, they're the thing is that they're very dangerous. Like these sentient toys are very dangerous. Like they build machine guns. They use like a nail gun and make automatic out of it. It's kind of crazy. They make a flamethrower.
Oh yeah,
so they're very dangerous, but you could still take them out with a baseball bat or like a piece of wood.
Yeah, no, but the action scene is long. It's a big special effects showcase of all this computer animation and as well as still some stop motion. The Gorgonites eventually decide to fight back. You've got, as we mentioned before, lots of little gizmos. Hey, no pun intended.
Gizmo.
Oh, they actually say the word gizmo in this movie.
Yeah, as an
allusion.
Times.
A couple times. That's an allusion to Gremlins, which is a far superior movie.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really like it. It just kind of drags, and it's not interesting. It is fun at points.
I just don't think you can judge it on the quality of, like, this is not aiming to be Citizen Kane.
I know it's not aiming to be Citizen Kane, but it could have been. I mean, like, you can always reach to be Gremlins.
That's true.
Which it basically is, but yeah. It's just very bad.
Gremlins also has its effects going for it, which are all practical and are all, like, so much fun. Like, the gory, the way they kill all the Gremlins, like, that, even as a kid, like, I was really grossed out, but I love those parts of Gremlins. In this movie, you chop up a toy and it's all computers and it doesn't have the same appeal.
I never really thought about that. The big thing is that they don't do a lot of like slapstick like Gremlins just does. And I've not seen Gremlins for a very long time, but seeing this movie made me remember Gremlins and made me wish I was watching Gremlins.
Gremlins makes the evil... Okay, so you got the Mogwai who are fun, and then when the Gremlins come out, they are so evil and they cause so much havoc, but they are so much fun. You just can't take your eyes off them. They exist to cause mayhem. And these toys in this movie don't exist to cause mayhem. They exist to like kill innocent toys. So it doesn't really have the same appeal as Gremlins. You know, Stripe is like so evil, but at the same time you're like, oh man, look at them all in that movie theater, look at them all doing this, and like one of my probably in my favorite scenes of any movie is the no spoilers for Gremlins.
No, you can, I'll close my ears because I really want to watch Gremlins.
I won't say anything though. I won't say anything. There's just some of the, you know, the things the Gremlins do involving a staircase. That's all I'll say. So people out there who have seen Gremlins a lot, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I really want to watch. I remember, and this podcast will basically just become about Gremlins after this point. No, we'll talk about Small Soldiers, but
yeah.
I don't know. I remember watching Gremlins a long time ago, and like, I don't remember a lot about it except for this movie. Small Soldiers reminds me a lot about it.
Yeah,
I can't remember if I liked it or not.
It's good. Gremlins is good. Gremlins 2 is really good,
too. I've heard Gremlins 2 is really good.
Watch them both. They're both great.
My dude Leonard Maltin's in Gremlins 2.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets killed by gremlins.
That's what most people do in those movies.
Yeah, right.
Gremlins are great. Another good Joe Dante movie, Looney Tunes back in action.
Really? He directed that?
He directed that. That's a good movie. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's funny.
It is funny. I've not seen it in a very long time. I remember liking it, but that was like 2006, right?
Yeah, early 2000s. He hasn't directed really too much. He's directed some TV episodes and things like that recently, but he's not really directing. I know the thing he does now is the trailers from Hell.
Which looks so fun.
Yeah.
He talks about it all the time on Leonard Maltin's podcast, and it sounds like a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm. You want to explain what it is?
Oh, yeah. Trailers from Hell. So Joe Dante, he explained this. It was like he had a bunch of trailers on like 16 millimeter film, and he asked his friends like what I should do with it and stuff like that. And then they told him that, hey, we have a bunch of these trailers too, just from like old movies.
A lot of old horror movies. Yeah, B-movies. Yeah.
Little Roger Corman. But so they decided just to make a website out of them because they had no idea what to do with them. So it's famous people basically narrating trailers, telling you information about them. And it's really interesting. You can learn a lot about both the filmmakers and like what those movies like did or inspired. So it's a really interesting website, trailersfromhell.com.
This podcast brought to you by trailersfromhell.com. Enter promo code good for an action movie for 10% off your free website visit.
Free.
Just go ahead and type that promo code into the URL search bar, but don't hit enter or you'll leave the site and Google our podcast.
That's how we get you.
Yep. Anything else to say about Small Soldiers? I don't want to talk too bad about the movie because
you liked it.
I liked it. And I also don't want to criticize it for its faults. Cause I don't think, I think Joe Dante is fully aware of the flaws the movie has and he just doesn't care. He just wanted to do I don't know if he wanted to try computer animation. I think that could be a part of it or just, you know, I don't know if he was just like, you know what, I could do Gremlins again.
I was very excited to watch this again because I can't remember. I think I saw a review of it somewhere and someone had liked it. And the reason they liked it was because they made it seem like it's like a big reveal that the Gorgonites are the good people and that the Commando Elite, who we think were the good people.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, I can't believe I didn't bring this up too. I actually really like that because this is an action movie where the action heroes are the villains.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally flips it on its head because especially for like very like stereotypically like male toys as like action heroes, soldiers, things like that.
Yeah.
And in so many movies, it'd be easy to make them the heroes fighting the aliens. And instead it's like, I mean, you could almost call it an anti-war movie or something like that. I know that's, this is not, I'm not talking about freaking Apocalypse Now here. I'm talking about Small Soldiers, but at the same time, it does have a message in it that the like all the soldier characters are evil and only want to kill. And, you know, you root for the aliens. So I guess it's Dances with Wolves.
It is.
Or Avatar or Pocahontas, you know,
or all those movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was excited for that because I think that's just a cool idea. Like I thought it was really interesting, like you just said. So it was interesting to see it, but I thought it really wasn't done that well. I thought it was like a big reveal at some point in the movie, but it's just like the first thing that
it's there from the beginning.
So I thought, I mean, like just as a film, I think they could have like handled that better, made it more interesting because then you have to go through Alan, the main character who we have not talked about a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he's every 80s or 90s kid who uncover something magical in a movie, right?
He tries to convince someone of
exactly.
It,
no, it goes through all the cliches of calling the police and trying to tell his parents that the toys were everything. I mean, that's not, you know, you just got to get through that stuff.
Yeah, but I thought, I thought it didn't really capitalize on it because it is a really cool idea and they do cool stuff with it in Small Soldiers. But I think it could have been better.
I could have seen some more grisly toy deaths. I'm not afraid to say it. They actually don't really. The only thing you get until the very end of the movie is the garbage disposal scene.
Yeah.
But I would have enjoyed more because you got toys. Like you can do some pretty fun stuff with them and not have to worry about it being gory or violent because they're not even alive. It's like battle droids in Star Wars. It's an excuse to have mass amounts of killing in a children's movie.
There are some like pretty gruesome images though. Like
that's true. There are.
We mentioned
to the humans though, not the toys.
Oh yeah, we mentioned earlier like Sarah Michelle Gellar voices these Barbie dolls. So they get basically reanimated. We don't really know how. By the small soldiers.
Science magic.
By science and magic. And fantasy and children's tears.
An action adventure comedy.
Yes. And they are freaky because they don't even just...
They have a hive mind. They have a hive mind.
They don't just like reanimate them and they look like Barbie dolls. They like... tear them apart and like put them back together, and like they don't have any hair, and they like take their eyes off,
and they're all naked.
They're all naked, and like some of them have like blades for arms. It's like Mad Max,
which is another, which is actually another thing that we made that joke. That's another Toy Story parallel is the mutant toys have been like, you know, like tortured and like reanimated to be like monsters. So that's just another thing. But, you know what, I'll say this for the movie. This might be one of the last things I have to say is that coming out of Dr. No, this movie could not have been less boring. It has a lot of really fun scenes. Whether it's a good movie or not, it doesn't matter. Like, I wouldn't call this, like, a great piece of cinema by any means. But Dr. No, you know, we sat there and talked the entire time, and it's very slow-paced. And this movie, you know, it has some good blood-pumping scenes, and it's engaging enough. You got Phil Hartman on there. You know.
Who needs to be in the movie more?
Yeah, he's not in the movie very much.
I actually read this on.
Did he die before it was done filming? Because this was his like last movie.
He was, this was released right after, unfortunately, after he passed away.
Yeah.
But I was reading about it, and apparently he was in more of the movie, but since he was murdered before it was released, they cut a lot of stuff. And you can imagine probably what that stuff is.
Yeah.
That probably would upset like his family or his estate.
That makes sense.
So it makes sense that he's not in it as much as you think he should be, but it's probably for good reason.
He delivers the best line of the movie while sitting on his couch with his wife. This is the first time we've seen him in probably 45 minutes. It cuts to his living room. He's sitting there watching a documentary. Max, what does he say?
I think World War II was my favorite war.
In the most Phil Hartman voice. And that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, he's a really good character, though. He's a lot more lifelike than, like, Alan's dad or literally anyone in the movie. The toys.
Yeah, he's less lifelike than the toys. Everyone else is less lifelike than the animated toys. Mm-hmm.
Except Dennis Leary.
And David Cross.
David Cross is really good, but he's always really good.
Codename Gizmo. That is true. That's how they get Gizmo in there.
Codename Gizmo, Kids Next Door.
You got anything else to say, or you want to move on to ratings and recs?
I really want to move on to ratings and recs.
Remember when we used to, when we followed a format for two episodes and did pros and cons and action? It doesn't work very well.
It doesn't really work well with, like, small soldiers.
All right, why don't you go first?
Ratings and recs. groovy. As a movie, I probably give it 2 stars because right. I don't think it's really good, and I think it's pretty cliched, and it's just Gremlins. And then as an action movie, there's really not a lot of action in it, at least none that feels like important. So I'd probably give it like a 5 for an action movie.
I was going to give it those exact ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like 2 out of 4, which to me is like not a bad movie by any means. It's probably has some good stuff in it, but you know, you certainly, if you got other things to watch, you know, you don't have to see this movie, but I think there's some good stuff in there, some fun scenes. And then as far as the action goes, when it's there, it's good. But, I think the final showcase is pretty fun. The big battle outside the house. There's a lot of like over the top things that I just like stuff like that. You know, toys building flamethrowers. Like that's cool. That's cool to me.
Yeah. And then my recommendations. I cannot remember. I had something really good.
I don't know. Well, no, I know what one of yours has to be because you haven't watched it yet.
So my first recommendation is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. You may remember from last episode, I said I was going to watch it and it was my recommendation. I did not get around to watching it. I did watch It Follows, though, and it is a very good movie. Very, very interesting. So I'll recommend that again. But as for my real recommendation, shoot, I can't remember what I was going to... I had something in my head. It was like an activity.
It wasn't a movie?
It wasn't a movie. It wasn't a book. It was like an activity. I can't remember what I was thinking of. Oof. I know.
Well, maybe we can think of it by the time we record next episode. But you got any other movie recs?
Probably like Gremlins.
Okay. Max is on a roll here recommending things he has not seen or has not seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And I will be enforcing. He will be recommending The Winter Soldier every episode until he watches it.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier's good.
I promise that I won't see it by next episode. Shoot, what was...
Well, we I don't know.
What is your recommendation?
My recommendation is a movie called Sing Street, which is in theaters right now. I got to see it. I loved it. It's, you know, I won't say too much, but it's about basically about a boy and... Well, he's a young man. I think he's like 16. In Ireland in 1985, who forms a sort of 80s music band to impress a girl. And the reason you see this movie is for the music. I do not like 80s music at all. If you know me, you might have heard me say, like, I don't like it. It's probably, I'm a classic rock man of like 60s and 70s, but I've never really liked the 80s. But it's a perfect example of a movie made by someone who loves that subject. And so you love it while you're watching the movie. And the director, John Carney, who directed Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo. And
he directed Once.
Right? Yeah, he directed Once. Oh. Yeah, that's his other movie. Well, I think he's done some more, but those are his big two. Mm-hmm. You can tell he loves the subject matter, and I just had so much. It's the most fun I've had in a theater in a long time. It's a comedy, but there's some pretty serious parts too, but I don't often like a lot of modern comedies, but this had some scenes where I was laughing for 10 minutes straight. It has one scene in particular that even thinking back on it now puts a smile to my face, and I haven't gotten that from a movie in a long time, not since I saw Green Room. Just kidding.
That's funny.
But it's really good. It has a romance in it. I don't think that's the reason to see the movie. I think the reason is for the music and the band stuff, and then if you see it by the soundtrack, because I've been listening to that baby nonstop. So... that's my recommendation, Sing Street.
All right. And for my original recommendation, this is a little off the
beat. Did you think about it?
I didn't think of it, but I thought of something else that I've really been researching lately.
All right.
So I don't know why, but I've been doing a lot of research about cats lately. And a lot of people don't like Sphinx cats. And people know them colloquially as the hairless cat. But I think they're really cool. And I did a bunch of research. They're one of the most friendly cats, most affectionate cats.
Are you recommending Sphinx
cats? I'm recommending Sphinx cats because they are good pets. Consult any website or database about the Sphinx cat.
How would I go about doing that, Max?
Just Google Sphinx cats.
Can I look them up on Yelp?
Look up cattime.com.
Is that a real website?
That's a real website. That I was on today. But they look, people think that they're not like cute. They're very adorable and very cuddly, and they will love you. They are extroverts, as I've been told on the various websites I've consulted. I'm not even interested in buying a cat. I've just been obsessed with like learning about them for some reason. But they are a very cool cat breed. So if anyone is interested in a cat or getting
recommending a cat.
I am recommending recommending the Sphinx cat. Listen, a movie's gonna stay with you for 2 hours.
Sphinx cat's gonna be with you
for 14 years.
Until it dies.
This is a much better investment than watching a movie. I'm gonna watch Winter Soldier. But a Winter Soldier cannot cuddle with me at night.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, okay.
So that is my recommendation.
All right.
We want to thank you for tuning in. Big thank you to Michael Albeck for the music.
Yeah, you know what? And we're going to give our first thank you here to Jane Kennedy for our podcast artwork, which we haven't said yet because... ooh, wow, little peek behind the scenes, but we're recording all these before we release any of them, so it hadn't been
Will,
made yet.
Quiet.
Sorry.
But yes, thank you for tuning in. This has been Good For an Action Movie.
See you later, guys. Bye, cat.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over!
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.
my gosh. All right, we don't need to do a post-credits show, I guess.
By a cat. I think the really...